Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent, 2007.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after the Passover, on which they ate of the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Cana. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him.
Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday reader. We're here in studio. It's Don, Father Mark, and myself, Brian. And I was going to start off by asking everybody what they thought of today's reading, The Prodigal Son. Did anybody have any thoughts or anything that struck them today?
Well, actually, yeah, and it's a different part than normally strikes me. At the end, how it ends with the younger son, or the older son, being talked to by the father, I started thinking, well, what happened after that? You know, what do you think the older son did? Did he go in and have a great time? Or if he was like me, did he nurse this grudge for a while?
Probably squandered everything and ran off himself.
I just wondered about that.
I don't know. I obviously, the story doesn't give us any indication, and so it's all speculation. I've never thought about that as to what the older son might have done. I can only speculate what I would have done, and I probably would have held that grudge a little longer and continued to complain that it's not fair.
How often do we put ourselves in that kind of situation, you know, when we kind of compare ourselves to someone else and look at them and see how they're being treated and kind of feel like we're being, you know, receiving the short end of the stick here, and we think that things are unfair, you know, and yet the father, what he says to his son is, you know, "You're with me always and everything I have is yours," you know, and how often we forget about what we really have. You know, we're always looking on the other side of the fence to see what's better and forgetting about what's really inside of us.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think that's one of the main points of that gospel reading. Is a lot of times, well, I think there's two points. One is it talks about the forgiveness and the nature of God and his forgiveness. The other thing, though, is, as you did say, a lot of times we compare ourselves to other people, or we have our own sense of what justice is. And I think what Jesus kind of teaches us through this parable and through many other parables is that God's justice is much different from human justice. And a lot of times we sit here and we're concerned with what's fair. And a lot of times God's not really, you know, fair. He pays the same, the workers in the vineyard, the people who show up last get the same as the people who've been working all day. But it's also kind of talks about how badly God wants us to be with him, because he's always there wanting us to come back and is willing to take us back at any point. If we come at the last minute, if we come early. One image that is often talked about from this story that I really like is the fact that the father doesn't wait for the son to come. Once the son has made the effort to start to come back, the father runs out to greet him, and he meets him on the road there. He doesn't wait for the son to come back.
And it shows that he was watching. It wasn't that he was busy at working. He was watching, waiting for him to come home, which is the same with God for us.
And that the excitement that right. God gets out of having us come, when we come back to him, is the same. I mean, the father is excited to have his son return to him. He's missed the son, in a sense, right. there. And God misses us when we turn away from him. It's important for us to come back and return to God.
I like the last week, you know, it was Jesus saying to the crowd, "Repent or perish." And this week it is basically repent and feast, you know, and how often when we think of, you know, when we eventually do repent and ask for forgiveness, that we forget about maybe that joyful aspect of what happens after repentance. You know, that there is that reunion with God and that coming together with God. And Dawn, I think of the story where you told, I think it was you, your retreat recently.
I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, I thought that was a great story.
Well, we had a college retreat a few months ago, and there was this one person who was having a really hard time in life, and she went to confession, and she came out of the room, and you could tell she'd been crying, but the first thing that popped into my head was, whoever is in Christ is a new creation, and that's what it was. She was a totally new person after experiencing that reconciliation. It was like new life behind her eyes, and everything about it. And so I thought it was neat that was today's second reading, and it was just so powerful to me what that sacrament does.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we think about the season of Lent. It is about a season about conversion in our life, and how really we can be open, if we try to be open, to the surprise of God and God surprising us, especially in these moments of reconciliation and repentance. Mm-hmm.
And along that theme, kind of the theme I've been preaching on a lot this Lent, is the idea of reconciliation. A lot of times I think it gets a bad rep as if it's for our own punishment for our sins. But really, it's for our own healing. It's so that we can go back to enjoy that feast with God. Because when we're not reconciled with God, we're out, like the younger son here, you know, tending the swine and things like that. And that repentance comes, and all of a sudden you're welcomed to this great feast. And that's what it's about. It's a healing thing. It's not about punishment for our sins. It's so that we can be healed and enjoy this relationship with God. That's what reconciliation is really about.
And I think Paul really talks about that too in the second letter to the Corinthians, where he says we are ambassadors of Christ. So if we are reconciled to God, there is a purpose for that reconciliation, not only for our joy and happiness, but to also go out and share that reconciliation and that joy with others.
Mm-hmm. I think of this verse a lot because I used to work at Paychex and doing a lot of accounting things. And it talks about being reconciled to God. And I think about that in association with when you reconcile your books or reconcile your ledger. Maybe Father Mark, since you have an accounting background, you could talk a little bit about reconciliation in that sort of fashion.
As an accountant.
Sure. And then relate it to what we experience on the spot.
On the spot is right. Well, I think, you know, when I think back to my previous life before priesthood as an accountant, and certainly spending many of my hours in the day reconciling books at the hospital that I worked at, it was really about, you know, at the end of the day, wanting to make sure that everything comes out, you know, nice and clean, and making sure that that things were done properly, and wanting to make sure that the hospital was in a good situation, you know, and that things were moving along productively. And so I can see where that kind of aspect of reconciling the books is certainly played out in our human lives, about, you know, wanting to make sure that we are in a good place with God and making sure that we are, you know, walking through a life in a way that's good and honest and people of integrity.
And when you reconcile the books, that's, if my understanding is correct, that's when you also confirm that everything is in that the numbers are correct and that what you've been doing is correct.
Right, doing the checks and balances.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, what that does for us is it puts us in that correct, you know, all the errors are corrected in our own lives through our reconciliation to God, and we're brought into a better relationship with God through that sacrament.
Yeah, because what ultimately, you know, what I was doing as an accountant was we did this at the end, or at the end of every month, and we wanted to make sure that everything was right and correct for the next month. So as we moved forward, we wanted to make sure that all things, you know, all of the accounts were reconciled and made right, so that when we entered the new month, everything was fresh and good and clean and ready to move on.
Yeah, and so like same, if we become new creations, as we become new creations, it puts us in that right space so that we can start kind of with a clean slate. We know everything is set right from this point forward, and we can go forward from there.
Right.
Well, thank you for joining us, Father Mark, this week. I'm sure we'll have you back a couple more times.
Thank you.
And thank all of you for joining us on your Sunday Reader. We'll see you next week. God bless.